Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So we need to dig into some personal financial planning and strategy topics for you today. And so we're very fortunate to have Kelly Grant on the line with us, personal finance and consumer spending reporter, CNBC. So Kelly is a writer covering personal finance and consumer spending topics for CNBC, and you can find all of her wonderful work over at CNBC.com. Prior to joining CNBC.com, she was a senior consumer reporter for MarketWatch.com and SmartMoney.com. So well seasoned around the street on these subjects and working for some great organizations. Her work has appeared in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Smart Money, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, Good Housekeeping, Real Simple, and Family Circle, among other publications. She holds a bachelor's degree in journalism and anthropology from, is it Ithaca College?
It is Ithaca.
All right, Kelly. Thank you. Well, welcome to the program. And I have to ask, I'm sure there's a joke here. I'm just not maybe quick enough on my feet to think of it, is journalism anthropology. So is it that journalism is, some sort of commentary on people and where we come from or where we're going?
Well, sometimes when you study the people involved, you get some good stories.
There you go. I knew there was a tie.
Taught me a lot about how to assess some of the data, too.
There you go. All right. Well, that's cool. Well, that's excellent. Well, thank you for being with us. We took note, and we're really glad to get you on the program because you've got several articles recently that really were just right on point with some of the things we like to cover on this program. So we appreciate the time, and I just want to dive right in here. And one of the big ones, of course, is healthcare. And there's a lot of conversation. There's a public discourse now about healthcare, and it seems like every time we turn around, it's a subject that comes up. And you wrote an article recently about painful medical bills and, you know, that folks really need to dig into and review those bills. And maybe you that's where we need that anthropological background to really understand these bills, because sometimes they're very confusing. And I guess the first question I want to ask you about that is, you know, should people really take some time to review the bills and study them? And what should they look for? And how do we make sure we're not paying a bill that's really something that we're not really 100% responsible for?
Well, I mean, it's absolutely vital, as you said, to be taking a look at these bills before you pay them. There are so many errors that can pop up on bills. And we hear a lot from, of course, medical billing advocates that do tend to see a lot of the problem ones. But they're saying, you know, up to 80% of bills does have some sort of an error with it. And a lot of cases, even as we talk to experts, sometimes the bills that you get, you might not actually owe any money on them. There can be a lot of erroneous billing where, you know, it's something that you still see offices collecting copays for things
right.
that they don't need to collect for.
Right.
I actually had a $600 anesthesia bill recently as a result of being in the hospital to give birth that my plan said, well, don't pay that. And, you know, I got the bill. I got several bills actually related to that.
Mm.
And in the end, it was something that I didn't even owe that money. So it's very easy for consumers that you might end up with a bill that you don't owe part or even all of that amount. You want to be looking to make sure that it's something that fits within your plan, that you do actually owe that money.
Well, and that's the hard part. And I'll play the naive devil's advocate here. Let's say I get a bill and it's okay. Maybe I had an emergency room visit, or maybe I had to be in the hospital overnight, or it was something outpatient, whatever the bill is. And I look at it, and first of all, it, in large part, it's Greek to a lot of people, how they describe what it is. And setting apart the whole thing about insurance company reimbursement and still waiting for things to be paid and all that to be processed through, because, you know, the provider can't bill you fast enough, right? So a lot of these things are still being paid. But setting that part aside, how do we look at a bill and go, well, I was in the hospital, or I had an outpatient. I mean, you know, how do we know whether some of those things are right for us? Do we have to really sit down and think, golly, did I have two aspirins or four? I mean, how do we evaluate those bills?
It's pretty painful. I mean, as one of my sources had said, you know, you got these explanation of benefits that don't explain anything. So,
right.
You know, one of the resources you could use would be to call your insurance company and, you know, ask them to walk you through, you know, why something was covered in a particular fashion. But when you're looking at something like an emergency room bill or a hospital stay where it really is like line item after line item, and a lot of these are coded in a specific way that there could be problems there and a lot of things that you would need to assess, that's where you might want to loop in an advocate. And something that consumers definitely want to keep in mind is that we hear it's about 45% of large companies offer advocacy services to their workers to help them manage healthcare benefits and bills.
Okay.
So sort of make your first stop if you're in that position where you're thinking you need some help. Talk to your boss and see if there's any sort of a benefit there that might be open to you. It could be something that you have, you know, free access to. And that can be really valuable help in deciphering some of these bills, figuring out, you know, what your coverage is ahead of time, maybe so that you don't even face the bill. If that's not open to you, then there are a couple of different groups out there, including the Medical Billing Advocates of America, and there's a site called CoPatient, which is a fairly new one, and they will take a look at your bills for free, and they'll tell you if they think they can save you any sort of money off of that. And usually, of course, then they're going to help you negotiate it. The fee is going to be based off of whatever savings that they get. So if they manage to save you $600, you might be paying a portion of that bill right up front. So keep that in mind, but that is going to be something that could potentially be helpful, especially if you're looking at something like a really big hospital bill that, you know, you're getting billed from maybe the hospital, from the anesthesiologist, from the doctors, and you've got a couple of different things there that you're trying to work your way through.
No, that's excellent, Kelly. Thank you for that. I mean, I think that's, those are all good recommendations, not only looking at outside resources. I think the thing that, you know, and I think it's ingrained in the American culture. I think it's evolving in light of everything that's happened over the last, you know, 6 to 8 years with healthcare and the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and all the changes and fighting and all of that over all of it, that there's a much greater awareness. And I think that there's a trend where not only are people tapping into resources like the one you mentioned, and I looked it up, the website is www.copatient.com, and you can, you know, certainly avail yourself of those types of resources, ladies and gentlemen. But probably most of all, which is really the heart of what I think you're getting at, Kelly, is to be your own advocate and don't just pay the bill. I mean, I know that, again, there is some aggressiveness on the part of some providers to really get that bill out there and then, you know, 10 seconds later sending you collections. But, you know, you have to stop and look and say, no, you know what? Yeah, I was in for outpatient, but no, I did not stay in the hospital room overnight. So why am I getting a bill for a hospital stay?
Exactly. You need to balance that out with you do want to be cautious about making sure that this doesn't go to collections, because although there are some changes in the protections there, in a lot of cases an unpaid medical debt can still stick around on your credit report and wreak some havoc there for a couple of years. But, you know, you should at the very least, if you're not sure about something, you know, be putting in a couple of phone calls right away. And if you think there's a problem, kind of alerting that biller and say, like, you know, hey, I have some questions here, you know, can we discuss this? Can I, you know, formally put in a dispute?
Right.
And just make sure that they're not going to automatically send that to collections. So let them know that your hope is that you'll be paying this. You're just you're curious about the amount and making sure that you're actually owing that money.
Absolutely. I'm happy to pay you, but I do have a few questions. You know, there's a part of us, I'm sure you've heard this, Kelly, in your research for this article, that I'm not saying I would do this, but there are definitely some of us that, and maybe part of us that would like to simply write on the bill, I don't know what this is, I'm not paying it. I don't know what this is, I'm not paying it. And just send in the part that you feel comfortable paying for. I'm sure you've heard people doing that.
I actually had somebody tell me that as a matter of course, his strategy is that he doesn't pay the first bill that comes in. And he waits to see if they bill him again. His feeling is that weeds out a lot of the sort of early billing that happens where the provider bills you before they receive anything from the insurance.
I agree with that. Yeah,
it's a little bit of a risky move because some of these medical providers are very quick to send it to collections.
Good point. And that, you know, you have to balance that. And again, I know that's another key point you're making, is to be balanced in your response to bills and pay your bills, and everybody needs to pay their bills and you got the service. And, you know, before we leave this subject, I do want to ask you this. In your research, Kelly, are you seeing a trend in people being a little bit more assertive is the word about, you know, really knowing what their costs are? You know, if you're referred, for example, for an MRI or something else, and there, you know, are different providers that may be able to provide that service in your local market, are people starting to actually, you know, inquire, what will this cost? What will be the charge? What will be, you know, what will you be billing my company before they pursue it? Or are you still seeing that consumers are largely in the dark about that?
Well, we do know that a lot of consumers are very uncomfortable trying to figure out how to navigate their benefits, but certainly we recommend that people be more proactive up front, because that's when you have the most leverage to figure out what does something cost and, you know, what can you do to avoid a bigger bill. You know, for something like shopping around for MRIs, it's a, you know, really great example there. But you also want to be talking to your doctor about what are some of the good ways to navigate those costs. Because what we hear about, you know, MRIs and a lot of other imaging specifically is there's a lot of different quality levels. So, you know, you getting the cheap MRI might work out depending on what your doctor is looking for, but it might mean that you have to go and get a second test because that imaging doesn't reveal the level of detail that they need. But, you know, in a lot of cases, doctors are willing to work with you. They might offer something like a payment plan, or we've even heard cases of consumers saying, well, what would you charge me if I were walking in and I didn't have insurance?
Sometimes well, that's a good
one. The cash rate is less than what you'd pay, depending on your healthcare plan.
Good point.
For those out of pocket charges.
So, that's right. I've got tens and twenties in my pocket. What's the charge?
Exactly, and that's a lot of smart questions up front could help you figure out a better way to handle this, that you're not ending up with a big surprise bill on the back end.
Excellent, Kelly Grant, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just joining us, personal finance and consumer spending reporter over at CNBC.com. A lot of great articles there you can check out. And we've talked about the painful medical bill article, and we're going to be turning our attention to a couple of really interesting topics. One of which, love stinks when it comes to saving money. We'll dive right into that after the quick break. Stay right there.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
You wouldn't drop your car off for repair service without first getting an estimate, would you? Of course not. Then why would you treat your all-important investment portfolio any different? Overlooked fees can really add up. Here's an example. Did you know that an extra fee of 1% on a $100,000 portfolio would equal $10,000 after 10 years? That's a lot of money. Do you know how much you're paying in fees? Why don't you get a second opinion from David Holland and invest with confidence? Call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation.
Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi, I'm Tony, chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440 for more information.
Hi, welcome back. Kelly Grant on the line with me, personal finance and consumer spending reporter over at CNBC.com. And we talked before the break about painful medical bills and things to do, and now we're going to turn our attention to another sometimes painful or at least challenging subject, and that's the role of love with our money and how we maybe spend money. And I know you wrote about this also recently, Kelly, and about how, you know, we have to be very careful about really our emotions getting in the way anytime it comes to spending for somebody else. Of course, you know, emotions always get in the way when we, you know, because they can impair our judgment and maybe the logical thought process we should be employing to make a purchase. So what have you seen in this area? Are there some strategies that we could utilize to avoid making mistakes?
Well, all of this came from, there's a study in the Journal of Judgment and Decision Making. So, you know, some interesting details there. They found that people who are making purchases when they have a strong emotional connection, a funeral, a wedding, or even something like, you know, buying a birthday gift for somebody, then they're less likely to price compare, less likely to negotiate, and even when they are presented with two options, one that might be a little more financially feasible, they're still apt to choose the more expensive item. So, you know, definitely some stuff to watch out for there, because when you look at this, I mean, it really does add up over the cost of a lifetime. You're talking about not just the big ticket events, but the study author was telling me, you know, he faced it recently buying birthday cards because he happened to walk into a store where it was $6 a card. And he thought, man, if I walk down the street, I could get one at the drugstore for probably $2 or $3. And then you get that moment of like, geez, am I really cheaping out on buying a birthday card for, you know, my sister? So we all face this, even when you know that this is something that's likely to happen.
But you make a great point, Kelly, because it's not an isolated event. If we apply it, if that's uniformly or consistently applied, you know, we could, in an attempt to avoid being cheap, really put ourselves in a spot where we're always maybe allowing that emotional component to overweigh what we know is a rational decision of taking the few steps down to the drugstore and getting maybe a card. And the other thing that's difficult, of course, is our world of convenience. I mean, hey, if the drone can't deliver it in my front yard, I don't want to be bothered.
Oh, exactly. Yep. And, you know, I can tell you as a new parent, you know, I get a lot of this pushback as well because, you know, you start to buy all these things for your child and go like, oh, like I could spend, you know, $3 more and get it faster or get like the nicer version of it. And yeah, that adds up when you're talking about Amazon purchase after Amazon purchase.
I don't know anything about Amazon purchase. I don't have that one click buying on my phone. Boy, that's dangerous. I know. I actually did. I read somewhere that it definitely helps you make smarter decisions not to have the one click. So I don't use the one click. I actually have to go through the checkout counter on my phone. But
is very, very smart. The fewer obstacles you have to making a purchase, the more likely you are to do it on impulse. So
yeah,
and you know, don't have your computer auto fill in your credit card information. Don't set up the one click ordering and you know, give yourself a few more opportunities to think about it before you buy.
That's right. And if at all possible, don't have a glass of wine while you have the one click either.
Oh, very, very, very true.
Good stuff. Well, you talked about the emotional aspects of some of this purchase making, and I know that ties very well into addressing the big and sometimes unpleasant conversation or topic, but it's very important and it is inexorable. We're all going to face it, and that is the cost of dying. And, you know, the it's become more and more commonplace for people to plan ahead. You know, once upon a time, that was kind of, you know, the anomaly or unusual. But now we've got so many different ways of looking at paying for our funerals or planning ahead. And I know that also in writing this article, you've done a lot of research and there was a study from the, Funeral Consumers Alliance? Okay.
Yep, they actually had found out last fall that you see, even within the same city, you might see prices range by more than 200%. You're talking about like, you know, $2,500 up to, you know, $14,000, excuse me, where, you know, that's the cost for a full-service funeral, depending on where you look. So you really want to assess this. Nobody likes to think about dying. We don't want to plan for ourselves, but you think about the financial burden that could be placed on your loved ones if you don't do a little bit of legwork and a little bit of planning to even just figure out what it is that you would like them to do. They're more apt, that, you know, that nice love effect, to spend up on something like your funeral, and they might not be, we assume, in a position where they're thinking about something like shopping around or price comparing.
Well, and to that point, there are websites and comparison tools available out there, aren't there?
There are. There's actually a fairly new one called parting.com. And they did a lot of the legwork that they detailed the price list, they say, of every funeral home in the United States. So makes it really, really easy to go in. You enter your zip code and what type of funeral you're looking at, and they're going to see estimates from all the local businesses in that area that'll give you a sense of what their price would be for something like a full-service funeral. You know, they found even for something like what they call direct cremation, which is essentially somebody picks up the body, they cremate it, and then they bring it back. And that can range, you know, $500 up to $10,000 in New York City.
Wow.
So obviously, you know, that's a really big price difference that you want to be aware of.
In New York City. So not only do we have pizza delivery on a bicycle, but now we've got pickup and delivery for cremation. Good grief. What's the world coming to, Kelly?
Well, you know, I mean, with this, it's I guess you want that level of service, though.
Oh man, I need to go in. I need to write a line. I need to write their tagline for them. That's pretty crazy. Well, you know what though? It's the world we live in, and there's no reason to pay any more you have to for anything, muffler or funeral home. I don't want to pay more than I have to. And I while you were describing it to me, I went to theparting.com, and it's P-A-R-T-I-N-G, ladies and gentlemen, parting.com. And I did put my zip code in, and up came the various funeral homes in my area. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got like a dozen different funeral homes here, and I've got prices, the estimated cost of the funeral home, and I've got their locations on a map. So, hey, that's an excellent resource. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Yeah, it should be an interesting one, you know. And, of course, when you talk to a lot of the experts in the area, they say it's another one of those purchases where you don't want to go by cost alone.
There's
a lot of service elements here, too, but still something important for you to, you know, maybe read some of the reviews, and that can help narrow down for you and figure out, you know, is this funeral home that your family has always used,
right,
are they the
right
choice?
Right. Well, and cost, just like anything, financial advice or anything else, cost is just one piece, and, you know, cheaper's not better. Better's better. And so, but it is a factor, and, you know, it does pay to shop, and it does pay to interview, and that's the other thing that's really big on some of these emotional decision points and also some of this pre-planning points is don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to do your homework, and doing a little bit of advanced work will certainly pay off for everyone in the long run.
Exactly. And it also helps, too, to have a neutral third party sit in with you, whether you're doing something like funeral planning or, you know, planning a wedding is another big one, where you've got somebody who can kind of gut check you and say, are you really sure you want to spend this much money? Or even if you're not comfortable doing the negotiations, that maybe they can step in and say, hey, that price seems a little high.
Right.
Is there anything we can do to lower this? Or do we really need, you know, that add-on?
Yeah.
And maybe help with some of that emotional negotiation.
Excellent, Kelly. Well, and for the single individuals out there, you know, say widows and such, who might be working on, you know, like, for example, the funeral arrangements, you know what? Take a friend. If you're interviewing a financial planner, take a friend. Don't be afraid to do that and just have another head evaluating what you're doing. So good advice, Kelly. Kelly Grant, ladies and gentlemen, our guest today, personal finance and consumer spending reporter over at CNBC.com. We're going to grab a break and come right back and talk about another huge topic that Kelly's written about recently, and that is, you'll take care of me when I'm old, right? We're going to be talking about adult unpaid caregivers. Stay right there. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y. For a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, Reverse Mortgage Director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort. In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have you with us because we're talking with Kelly Grant, personal finance and consumer spending reporter over at CNBC.com. And we're just scratching the surface of Kelly's great work over at CNBC. And if you have time, stop by the website, take a look. A lot of great articles, CNBC.com. And wanted to get to the last subject we plan on talking a little bit about today, Kelly, and that was the unpaid caregivers. And I kind of have this, I kind of have a laugh in my voice because the numbers are just, every time I read the numbers and the statistics, I'm just staggered by it. 43.5 million Americans, the adults, work as unpaid caregivers, and a lot of them are caring for somebody that's 50 or older. And that's just, you know, those numbers just, I read them and I read them again and I go, good grief, that's just a huge number.
It is. And here's another terrifying one for you. There was a report from 2014 from the Urban Institute. They found that if you're age 51 to 54, 83% chance you are at risk of needing to provide care for a parent or in-law. So,
wow.
You know, it's pretty terrifying as we see, you know, the population of older adults getting older. And, you know, you're seeing even caregivers that are millennials now. Who are either financially supporting or caring for a parent in some way, form, or fashion. And it's something that there's a pretty good chance that you'll face at some point, either that you'll need care or that you'll be someone providing it. So it helps really to think about the financial plan on both sides of that equation.
And there's so many aspects of this that we only can touch on briefly here. You know, it's affected people's consistency at work and being able to work a full-time schedule. It may affect their ability to retire on time, either delaying or having to retire earlier. And it just so many facets here. And I saw firsthand one time somebody I had a business relationship with, Kelly, and ended up spending an amazing amount of money taking care of in-laws and having to put off his own retirement probably by at least 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of repercussions that can come in play here. You know, particularly, you mentioned a lot of this it ends up being career-based. You're spending money while you're still working. Maybe you're not working regular hours or you have to take an unpaid leave of absence. You know, all of this is going to eventually hinder your own ability to maybe pay for your kids' college education, to retire yourself, at what age you can retire. So you want to be having these conversations early to kind of figure out how you can afford to financially help,
right.
You know, while also meeting your own financial goals. And if you're someone who, as you're getting older, you're making sure that you have what protections and plans in place that you can, and having the discussion with your kids about what you would like to have happen as you get older.
Absolutely.
If there's some health problems in line.
Definitely. Well, just one more example, Kelly, of the baby boomers who have affected everything they have touched as they have aged and gone through society. And now they were just the other day, they were turning 65. Now the oldest baby boomers are turning 70, and they are now again touching and affecting a whole nother market. Kelly Grant, ladies and gentlemen, our guest today, personal finance and consumer spending reporter over at CNBC.com. Check it out. Kelly, excellent program. Thank you for being with us. Enjoyed being with you.
Thank you for inviting me. It was great to chat with you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.